Arms out to your mum's house. 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 Arms out to your mum's house.
Yo, what's up, everybody? What episode number is this, Maddie?
I think it's episode 12.
Episode 12 in the arms house to your mum's house. Very, very pleased this week. Got a good friend of mine. Bring arms house. Got a good friend of mine, heavyweight MC, gold bar medalist, supreme nemesis. One sprays better than Ray Vendetta. Ray Vendetta is on the podcast, bruv.
What are you saying? I love that intro. Man caught it bars for my intro. I love that shit, man. That shit hard, bruv.
I've been just telling Maddie just now. About, because Maddie knows everything about hip-hop. He loves hip-hop, but he might not be too much up there on the UK as much. But he is. I don't know. He's going to be upset with that.
No. I'm up on bits and bobs here and there. You know what I mean? But I'm an old school at heart. So, you know, my head is stuck in the 90s. You know what I mean? But, of course, I love I love it. If it's good hip-hop, it's good hip-hop. I don't care where it's from, who did it, what country, doesn't matter. Hip-hop is hip-hop. It's good. It's
exactly that, man. If it's pure and it's good, then it's good.
Yes. Well, yeah, passion is a thing for me. Even if I don't like it, if I can see you're passionate about it, I'll be like, yo, I can't fault it. You know what I mean?
Of course. This is just,
and that's a general...
I try to tell the young boys and girls this, you know, that see that I'm a rapper, and they kind of think that, you know, you see when the young guys talk about what we do, and I'm around a lot of the young boys, my cousins, you know, sons and daughters of my friends and that, they go, when they hear our specific brand of hip-hop, you know what they say? And I quote this every time they hear it, they go, that's that real hip-hop. They say it quietly, like they're whispering in a circle. They get scared, and they say, oh, yeah, okay. It's what we know, but it's this, like, way advanced for us. It's like, yeah, we'll see, we like it, and let's keep it moving. They don't know how to feel about it because it's way advanced. It's like advanced mathematics when you're doing like foundation maths, you know what I mean? It's advanced mathematics.
And also like the new style of hip hop and trap and drill, some of it's great, but when it comes to substance and subject matter, it's very samey. You know what I mean? And when you hear someone like yourself or Triple Darkness as a group, you touch on so many deep subjects, man. And it's more like stream of consciousness, the stuff that I've heard. Like, it's just, it takes several listens to catch every bar. It's one of them, like, headphone music type stuff where you like, you know, you just get locked into it, you know?
It's like lyricism. It's hardcore
longevity music. It's funny you should say that because I think that it has, like, very high listening value when you listen to a project like a Triple Darkness, any Triple Darkness project, whether it's group or solo, it's got high listening value because you find yourself like returning to it. I still return. You said you're a 90s hip hop guy. I return to 90s hip hop albums like regularly where, you know, I hear
all
new,
the time,
new
man.
Things. I hear new things.
That's why we brought you on, Ray.
No, I never heard that when I was 16. I never heard that when I was 18, but it makes sense to me now. So the longevity in that music is incredible. You know, certain albums are turning 25, 30 years old that I was into. So, it's mad.
And that's why I love deep, lyricism because, like, exactly like you said, because your brain hasn't formed fully when you're a young teenager. So when I was 12, 13, I was just listening and I was picking up certain bits. Then you listen again when you're 20, 25 and you're like, oh shit, and you miss bits. And then you listen to it when you're 40 and you're like, oh, that's what you would say.
A whole new understanding to that project. Your knowledge on life and this certain subjects is so advanced by the time you're listening to it, say, our age, that it's like, it all makes sense to you, isn't it?
Man. That's dope. You know what? Maybe we should kick it off listening to one track, just to kick it off.
Go on, play a little song.
Because Ray, I mean, like I've been up on it a little bit from listening to theme and stuff. But man, you are prolific, Mr. Ray Vendetta. You put out a lot of music.
That's
man,
what I want to talk about. Maybe before you spin it.
Yeah.
Maybe before you spin it, Ray. Okay. Man, wasn't there a year you put out 6 albums?
Yeah,
I got so many different questions, brother. There's a 6 album year. There's an effortless EP or LP, maybe an EP or an album that was written in 5 days, bruv. Yeah. Talking about Effortless.
I wrote down 5 days and I recorded it in 12 hours on record. I went to the studio at midday. I started eating my food, drinking a bottle of water, smoking a spliff, waiting for everyone to come. It's everyone coming slowly that delayed the process of this. It would have been 8 hours, but if everyone
would have
came
been even less.
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
But then it came 12 hours, whole day. You know, my engineer was ready for the day. I told him I'm not leaving. The toilet's there. I've got food. I've got smoke, got drink. And we done it in a whole day. Yeah. I was really proud of it. Everyone
so man, everyone knows about your work rate. You know what I mean? Your work rate is just ridiculous. Everything you do, you kind of do all the other bits as well. You know what I mean? You've got the record label. You organize tours. You do the artwork on some of the albums.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
All the time.
Man, you keep it all in house. We've got to talk about loads of stuff. Prestigious records.
Yeah, I try and just be a machine for what I'm doing. I spent a lot of years, you know, not saying in a bad way, but dependent on people for artwork, on mixing and mastering. I'm still dependent for that, man. I'm retraining my ear on that, you know. I've got, you know, certain qualifications that might not exist no more in that stuff. But yeah, but everything else, I try to be in house. But mixing, mastering, and videography, everything else, I do completely for self. But those are three things that they're arts and they're disciplines. It's like videography, you got to spend hours in editing, hours that I don't have because I'm writing and I'm making beats, you know. Mixing and mastering, same thing. Intricate ear, hours of sitting with the sound going over and over and up. I ain't got that time. So those are the three things that I give to people. But aside that, I can pretty much just...
Because you must be writing all the time, bruv.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, I don't know.
Literally.
People don't really understand how much, you know, because we're talking about someone, we're in Ray Vendetta, we're talking about someone who doesn't just write down the average bar or just write down something and then think, yeah, that's all right enough, and then go on to the next part of the bar, like make it 16 or whatever. You're doing like real deep lyrical shit, but it's actually got a wick. That's what I love about it. You've got like a you've got like a gifted flow. You know what I mean? And it's recognized from the way you come in. You've always got that, you know what I mean? Like those lyrics I sent to Maddie, you know what I mean? Just because I love them so much. I was like,
I know you pick apart the bars. I love the way you dissect bars.
You
you're like,
as well. Yeah. You're one of those kind of guys who, we rap for rappers to know that we're fucking sick
of rappers,
rapping,
rappers,
you know?
Man. We pick.
And I just love your flow, bruv.
On that note, check this out.
Yo, supreme nemesis, gold bar medalist, rain down shellinist, stand tall precipice, cliff face throw him off, sky dive splattering, lost boats rolling off,
pull it up. Have you got a little bit of the guy before him?
No, I chopped
it. It starts there.
Because
that's another thing. The voice, man. Ray's got that. I'm telling you, man, that tune is supreme nemesis, gold bar medalist. Bro. What's the standard precipice, man? The flow in it.
Hey, yo, supreme nemesis, gold bar medalist, rain down shellinist, stand tall precipice, cliff face throw him off, sky dive splattering, lost bolts rowing off, two bits nattering, two clips pack him in, metaphor double. Verse, razor never back the gin, sending for the henny first, temp to the 21st, curtains, cowards splurt, bar smith with many words, 4K never blurred, when I burst tongue slurs, recall 50 cows, scripts of the gifted foul, lay it down, flip the blouse, orgasm energetic, live as a lifted crowd, rappers talk fart, get blitzed when I spit the round, final in the chess piece gang, LDN slang, sharks can never bite this brand, straight club a lang, 18 pity you fools, you got no cajones, wicked in my flickering jewels, tell them all or nothing.
I'm glad that you guys picked that, man. I'm really glad that you guys picked that for reasons like that was the first track that I kind of put out when I've had them join the Prestigious Generals together. I had Jada in there as the flagship artist behind me on Prestigious, and then HMZ, Java, who I made a project with, Speak of the Devil. I had Bad Effects as an honorary member because I've been working with him for untold years already. So it all made sense. My cousin Panther's on there as well. Big him up. So I put everyone on the track and I said, this is you lot's time to shine. I'm even going to come last and anchor the track because I want you lot to shine first. I don't want no one to be talking about, oh, Ray's first. And you know, when Ray came on, you know, I just want everyone to shine. And then Ray closed the track by everybody. That was it, what it was.
Did Ray close the track? He closed
What's the name of the song?
The name is called Hanzamon, and I'll go into the Hanzamon thing. Hanzamon, if you know Atari Hanzo, used to make samurai swords. And he used to make samurai swords in a house called the House of Hanzomon. And when I read up on that, I was just like, yo, that's crazy. A house where they're just making samurai swords and samurais are just there training. And I said, that's what this tune's called. It's the House of the Samurai Hanzomon.
Nice. Yeah. And so I can see already, even from listening to some of your music, there is an influence from Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh,
obviously,
God, of course. That, all over it.
Because we know, that for people that might not know, Wu-Tang is like the sword... And the tang is when it hits, just, and it's about and when you hear RZA or any of their members talk, they talk about sharpening their
sword. Keep your sword sharp,
sharpened steel. You know what I mean?
It's like when you bring up Wu, I get excited and I could talk for hours. We could have a whole separate like podcast about the Wu and us just like chopping it up on Wu. But Wu to me, they're the ultimate. I'm biased. They're the greatest hip hop group of all time. They're like highly influential in me picking up a microphone, having the confidence to want to rap, just want to pick this thing up. Yeah. I was already listening to hip-hop before I was exposed to the Wu-Tang, but more on the commercial side. A lot of Bad Boy stuff, a lot of Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff and, you know, things we were used to in the 90s. OPP, Naughty by Nature, I knew all the stuff that you should have known at that era, but when I was exposed to the Wu-Tang, it was different.
We've said on a previous episode of this podcast that like back then we were hungry for hip hop, anything that could appear. We only had like maybe 2 hours a week on the radio. What there was Westwood and there was
279 and Blitz. We had to flick between all the shows. I had my cassette tape in every Friday and I used to listen to Numbers first because he started early and he was playing all the UK stuff when I was kind of just like learning the scene. And then we just flick over to Westwood because we know he's going to have that marquee artist that's on tour. Maybe that DMX or that, you know, whoever's over at the time and he's interviewing them, dropping bare bombs, talking his shit as he does. But we put up with that because we knew we were going to get an exclusive interview or some freestyle. I was on that every Friday, man. That was my taping.
We were striving for it. So when was the first time you heard Wu? It must have been Protect Your Neck, right? I swear that was good. Was it Method Man?
The first Wu I heard was, I think it may have been METHOD and Cream. I'd heard those tunes in Calculation, but around the time, at that point, what was coming out, they were preparing for Forever. So I kind of had to do just like, I'll go back and just pick it up because of my age, obviously. 93, Forever came out. I'm a certain age, but if you do the math, 93, I was like 10 years old. So, you know, the hip-hop, I couldn't really take it in 93, but when I started catching 36, was around 95 to 686, and then Forever was about to come in, and Forever just blew our heads off. We wasn't prepared for what Forever was. Two cassette tapes, two CDs, incredible double album, one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, no doubt, man. Yeah. I mean, like Theme said, we were the prime age. When 36 Chambers came out, we were like 12, 13 years old. And when we saw that video, we were just like, yo, what the fuck is it?
All these MCs spitting. I saw the Triumph video. Just blew my mind. It literally.
I still remember that for Cream and the first out 36 Chambers. I remember that for that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run into someone's house who had, I can't remember who it was, but he had a cable. You know what I mean? And watching Cream. I remember the video. And for some reason, my first tracks for Wu-Tang was Cream and then Brooklyn Zoo. Brooklyn Zoo, because I don't know how I had the vinyl. I don't know how I got it, but I had the vinyl of Brooklyn Zoo, man. It's sick. I had the whole album. You know what I mean? When he's got his driving license, his the album.
Yo, you know what that was? That was a welfare card. That's a welfare card. That's the card you have to get. Yeah, you know the equivalent of us having milk tokens and that kind of shit over here. Yeah. It's one of those that makes it. Yeah, I can get this food and this. Yeah, man, it's wicked.
And it's this real one. It's actual.
Yeah,
real
it's actually
one.
His actual card, man. Yeah,
it's I think
it's a mad introduction to Wu-Tang, man. It was mad.
Yeah, I think even ODB got arrested for using it, even after. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know all the details. But I think because he had a job technically and he was still using
his welfare card. Yeah, that means he was just like, he was gaining like legal money through the music, but probably still claiming some like
universal credit fraud.
Yeah, I need that money still. ODB was a legendary guy.
I think
man,
he did it.
Guy.
I think you did it as a statement saying like, you know, like I'm still in the hood. I'm still in the streets. You know what I mean? Like just because I got an album, don't make me.
Don't mean I'm this and that. Here's my welfare card. Yeah, man. Russell, is it Russell Jones? Russell Diggs? Russell Jones?
All right. Okay. Well, let's play a bit of Triumph. Let's play a bit of Triumph.
Yeah, since do that.
We always ask, we ask the guest, we ask the guest for a suggestion for a song, and of course Ray came with this one, a classic among all classic. Let's go, man.
Classic.
Yeah, man.
But y'all thought y'all wasn't gonna see me. I'm the Osiris of this shit. Wu-Tang is here forever, motherfuckers. This left this 97. My niggas and my niggerettes, let's do it like this. I'ma rub your ass in the moonshine. Let's take it back to 79.
I bomb atomically. Woo! Socrates, philosophies, and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery. Flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scarred, showgun. Explosion when my pen hits. Tremendous. Ultraviolet, shine blind forensics. I inspect view through the future. See millennium. Killer bees sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Shackling the matches with drastic rap tactics. Graphic displays melt the steel like blacksmiths. Black Wu jackets, Queen Bees ease the gunson. Rumbling with patrol. Moment here, gas lace the function. Heads by the score, take flight inside a war. Ticks hit the floor, die hard fans demand more. Behold the bold soldier, control the glow slowly. Proceeds the blow, swinging swords like Shinobi. Stomp rounds and found footprints in solid rock. Who got it locked, performing live on your hottest fly.
As the world turns, I spread like germ. Bless the globe with the pestilence. The hard-headed never learn. This my testament to those burned. Play my position in the game of life, standing firm. On foreign land, jump the gun out the frying pan. Into the fire, transform into the ghost rider. A six pack and a street car named Desire. Who got my back in the line of fire, holding back? What? My peoples, if you with me, where the fuck you at? Niggas is strapped and they trying to twist my beer cap. It's court adjourned for the bad seed from bad sperm. Herb got my wig fried like a bad perm. What the blood? Clots? We smoke pot and blow spots. You wanna think twice? I think not. The iron lung ain't got to tell you where it's coming from. Guns are Navarone, tearing up your battle zone. Rip through your slum.
I twist guns from the heart. Try to intrude, loop my voice on the LP.
Martini on the slang rock, certified chatterbox. Vocabulary daughter talking, tell your story walking. Take cover, kid, what? Run for your brother, kid, run for your team. And your six camp rhyme groupies, so I can squeeze with the advantage and get wasted. I barely know it's reign supreme.
So I saw you perk up there. I saw you perk up when Capadonna came in, man. Is he one of your favorites?
Yes, indeed. Or, Capadonna is, he's like the unofficial official Wu-Tang member. Like since basically the beginning, he didn't really get in on 36. He's fully involved in Forever. And then, The Pillage. Like, The Pillage is one of those albums in hip-hop it doesn't really get spoken on, but I hold it in high regards. Just like, say, Killer Priest, Heavy Mental, The Pillage is like a seminal debut album to me. The whole cover, the way he came with it, Milk This Cow, all the singles, it's a really incredible album. And I think RZA put a lot into it, as did Fourth Disciple, another producer at the time that gave him, you know, the Wu elements that gave him the beats. And I think it stands as like a classic Wu debut. You know, he didn't quite reach the heights after that, maybe with the Yin and Yang and the Struggle and other things after. But Capadonna, I think, like, paid his dues. And certified,
man.
W, he's just, like the master killer, the last person to release an album. Everyone was waiting for Master Killer, and then No Said Date came out when hip hop was kind of dry and stale, and you know, Rock Master was just at the beginning of the Renaissance, and it was kind of in a strange place, hip hop. And then No Said Date came out, and Master Killer used all the Wu producers, and he just made a traditional Wu album at a point where we were starving and needed one. And I thank him for that. No Said Date's incredible. Yeah. All the Wu members are on it, and it's just, he did what we wanted at the time. He did it so well that Raekwon had to do Cuban Links 2 after that, just to solidify and please the fans, because he saw how they reacted to that. And so, you know.
It's hard to say which one is your, like, your favourite. I mean, some of the stuff you just mentioned there, man, Cuban Links and all that, you know what I mean?
Great albums, all classics.
Crazy.
Yeah. You're right. It does.
And then there was all the affiliates as well. And do you remember Shy? I used to love
Shaheen,
Rugged Child.
Rugged Child.
And then I've got the one where he's like 13, 14, and then the next one.
Okay, so you got the Rugged Child, you got the Lost Generation, then you got Manchild.
Lost Generation.
Manchild's got that famous Big L song. I don't think they've done it together, but they stitched the lyrics of the verses together. And Big L, Shaheen. It was the biggest track on the album, and they never recorded it together. He had one with Tupac as well on that album. It's incredible. But yeah.
But bruv, Shaheem, back in the when I first heard Shaheem, I must have been like 14, 15, and he must have, and it was the album where he recorded when he was 13, 14.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a bit of a high voice, but he was still going in.
He was really good, man. I heard
there was all these rumors like, but you know what it is, like, Method Man's like his dad, or this is there's another. Kind of bullshit. Remember that, man?
Nobody knew.
He's like raised by the Wu-Tang. His mum dropped him off in a basket when he was two.
And the Wu-Tang just raised him. Now, that's not even a story. Like Shaheem, there's a deep story about Shaheem in Shaolin, Staten Island, where the Wu-Tang apparently stole him from another clique. That like there was like they was homing in on his talents, and they wanted to bring him through as their like young disciple, and that. Like, the Wu blew before this click, and they kind of took Shaheem, so it's kind of like debated.
Because
Shaheem's good on both sides of Staten as well, so it's debated about was it Wu that really discovered him or this other click. I think in the other click, if you know, GP Wu was a group that came out in like the mid to late 90s, just after the first wave of Wu, GP Wu came out with, around that Sons of Man, Royal Fam Killer Bees type album. And they had an artist called Pop the Brown Hornet. He had a solo album. I had it on cassette, Pop the Brown Hornet. It's dope. Yeah, and Shaheem, he always says that Shaheem was our young buck. And then RZA and Awu caught onto Shaheem around us. They just stole him. And you know, they stole Shaheem from us, and then he went clear after that. So that's apparently the story behind
Shaheem. Shaheem had the hardest album cover. That album cover, when you were like 14, 15 and absorbing all kind of hip hop, and it's that one where he's on the phone, half braid sticking out. They used to, you know what I mean? That 90s New York, man. I loved that album cover, man. Fuck.
Shaheem
Screw
was
on the silences. Screw on the silences. Because real bad boys move in silence.
Yeah,
stash butterfly knives and 45s in my garments, man. That's sick.
Yeah, man. Lost Generation.
Yeah. And then as he got older, I didn't feel it as much. But at the beginning, man, fuck me.
Yeah, he's been through some tribulation. Shout out Shaheem.
Yeah. I was going to say about like your production as well is very inspired by the Wu as well. I take it, right?
Yeah, of course.
And do you use samples as well? What do you use to make beats?
Matt is a producer.
I make beats as well, yeah.
Well, I've been making beats with like on and off. Let's just say about 20 years or over 20 years I've been making beats. When I first started, you know, we're still in the analog era, like switching into the digital era. So we're still using the analog stuff. I had an MPC 2000 was my first kind of like beat machine, bought off my uncle. Nice. Salutes my uncle Paul IB for. He shot at me that sold it to me after me just like, you know, leaning on him like ages, like can I buy it? I was watching it in the studio and they weren't using it. It was a crime and it was old and they had dust on it. And I was like, I need this in my life. Yeah. And I begged for it for ages. He sold it to me and that was history. I had the 2000, I had the 1000, had Rings of Saturn around me, big up Rings of Saturn, showed him how to use the 2000. He went on to get the 1000, the 2500, the 3000, you know, 4000. He went like right into the chamber. I was making beats on Cubase, on the PC, and a software called Halion that could sample, and you could put the sample keys into your keyboard. So I learned digitally. I learned digitally, made a few bits with that, sold my machines, got back to writing and just taking beats off my circle, because I had so much producers around me that when I put down making beats, I was fine. So everyone was just throwing them at me. Yeah, they were throwing at me left, right, center. So I kind of quit and got lazy instead to start taking all the bangers from the boys. And I come back onto it just before lockdown. But, you know, I upgraded. I started making it in my tablet. I make it in my tablet now. I use FL. Yeah. I use FL Studio. It's in my tablet and it's real easy to use. Yeah. I can travel
Madlib, he swears by it. He says, I make beats on my fucking iPod. iPad, man. Yeah. He's like,
I carry my tablet around. It's right there to the left of me right now. Hold on. I lean over for it. I show people like the tool of destruction's right there. This is the tool of destruction. I get busy on this. I can carry it anywhere I want in my bag and just tap out a sample, you know, straight away.
I mean, I'm always interested. I'm always interested in the different tools people use and all that stuff. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the tool is. It's the person using the tool.
Yeah, behind it.
Yeah, exactly, man.
You know, for instance, big man, when the hip hop group Little Brother blew up and they were a phenomenon in the underground and people were comparing them to the likes of Tribe and, you know, other groups that come around with that sound. Do you know what Ninth Wonder was using at that time? He was using Fruity Loops. And I know Fruity Loops is software. Hip-hop producers, when I was coming up making beats, used to shun Fruity Loops because they used to say, the Garage and Grime producers use that and the Jungle producers to make beats. Hip-hop guys don't use Fruity Loops. So he nonsensed this whole theory that you can't make those great boom-bap beats on Fruity Loops, and he was doing that. And I know that could work because my good friend and my beloved brother Calvert used to make Swear by Fruity Loops from about 2000, and his beats incredible. Calculate Vendettas, which Theme is on. Which the good brother Theme is on, Calculate Vendettas, is made by Calvert. And he made all of that album on Fruity Loops, people. I'm telling you, with squares and blocks, chopping it together. And that's what that's
I remember when people started hating on Fruity Loops. If you'd go studio and that would be like
a... using that to make
a diss, isn't it?
Fruity, it's easy, man. Yeah. It's like Fisher Price, man, making Fisher Price beats.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
I
think there's another Apollo, I think his name is. He's a producer. He works a lot with OC. He does all his beats on Fruity Loop as well. Okay. He's fucking ill, man.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
So what, Ray, on that tablet, do you do the lyrics on that or do you write them by hand?
Lyrics I write by hand in my book, and I've got a bit lazy writing them in my phone as well. I'm going to try and stop doing it in my phone because I've got a phone that I had lyrics in back in the years, about 5-6 years ago, and it got fried and I lost like 2 albums in it and the screen was cracked and I couldn't get into the phone and I done everything I could. In the end, I restored what was inside of the phone, paying some silly money, I won't say how much, and I've got everything back in my phone. Yeah. And I thought after that, I'm not going to write in the phone no more because devices, you can't trust them.
Because most people wouldn't. They'd lose like a couple of 16s or something. Ray loses 2 albums.
When he loses his phone,
that's how much. Are you doing all the writing shit? Because if you're doing the production, the label, the tours, when does writing come to you? Does it just come, or do you set time aside for it and like write tonight?
Do you know what, brother Theme? You see, with writing, if I'm in the mind state of I've got a project coming out and I know I've got like a collection of beats right here that I need to write to, I'm in writing mode automatically. So it doesn't matter what time of day it is or whenever I get the inspiration, I know I'm in album mode. But any other time, it's very sporadic. I could be traveling. I could be just with my kids. I could be cooking food and hear some shit or just a beat I want to write to and start going.
Well, have you got an instrumental on all the time when you're like...
They're in my phone. They're all over. When I'm in studio, they're there. So there's always something I could be writing to or, you know, could be getting
it's
on.
It's an everyday occurrence or not?
I wouldn't say I write every day because that's over-exaggerating saying you write every day. Nobody has time to do like a concentrated discipline every single day, especially with how life is and what we need to go through in a day-to-day. We got kids, we got partners, got jobs, we got all that shit in as well as what we're doing. So, but I try and make it priority to be productive, whether that's writing, beat making, doing some bits in the studio.
And the thing is, like I was saying, none of it's waffle, you know what I mean? None of it's just filler. It's all fucking banger after banger after banger.
Thank you.
That's what I find nuts about you, man, because I'm thinking, how does he do this? You know what I mean? Like I said, that other album was written in 5 days. You recorded it, and what did you say? 12 hours. You know what I mean? That's not normal shit. That's extra creative kind of shit.
We used to hear. Like, wasn't Tupac like that as well? Apparently, he was always in the studio. Yeah, he's always recording.
It's funny you should mention him, man. He's just like I tell people that when they talk about my work ethic, I say it's like the Tupac work ethic. It's my title of what I do and how I do it. I say I got the Tupac work ethic because he done so much in such a short space of time. And people are still like, you know, bewildered and baffled by how Tupac did so much music in like a 4 or 5 year span. But I know how he did so much music. He just didn't leave the studio and he had a constant drive. And it's like, he's one of my main inspirations for like productivity and just keeping up.
I'm just shocked how you do it, bruv. I'm just saying fucking hell. Like from someone who writes to someone who writes, like, I just... I just feel like in awe. I'm always thinking, how the fuck? Especially when I compare it to me. You know what I mean? Because I hit like a writing zone and then I'll be like, wow, whatever's happened this week, it's kind of an every night thing.
Yeah.
Cook some food, maybe have a bit of green, and then bam, as soon as I have that, then those creative juice come out and I start writing. But to do like, to be feel pressured into it or to doing it like under deadline and shit, I'm always so long. Yeah. And then when I see you and it's like, fucking hell, because you write a lot of shit. Yeah, I just can't get over it.
Keep it up. I put myself under pressure for you.
Six albums in a year, bro. That would take me six lives. Six lives, bro. You know what I mean? Like, easily. What do you think about, we were just talking about Wu-Tang. What do you think about Triple Darkness when they first like broke into the scene?
Yeah.
And for the whole of their kind of life, there's a lot of comparison to Wu-Tang, isn't it? All the time on the YouTube comments, on the people.
I think it's rightfully deserved. I think it's rightfully deserved because Triple Darkness was such a unique entity. And I think the Wu-Tang comparisons were there before they became a bigger group. Because, you know, Triple Darkness started as three members. You know, the foundation is Cyrus Malachi, Melanin 9, and Nashiron, who's also Crown Nectar, a.k.a. And they started as that. But I think even then, when I heard them, and I was talking with Saf One in the studio the other day at Prestigious Headquarters about Triple Darkness, and he said to me that when Triple Darkness came out to him, because we're the same age, big up Saf One, he said that Triple Darkness, he didn't think that the bar in the UK could go above Kalashnikov and Terra Firma and what was his type of hip-hop at that time. He said Triple Darkness raised the bar, and I agreed with him because I was a fan at the time as well.
I see what he's saying.
I didn't think the bar could go higher. And as soon as I heard Cyrus Malachi, M9, Nashiro, and I was just like, this just screams Wu-Tang to me. It's so intricate. There's so much in the lyrics. The beats are a certain way. It was...
They came in the door that way,
and I'm just glad that I could be part of that legacy and help extend it. And, you know... be spoken about in that conversation when they talk about that, because I feel they are the closest to the Wu-Tang on this side of the water. We are, you know.
There's a lot of people that say that, man, and it's evident when you listen to it. Like, it's fucking evident.
Should we slap one on? Should we? I think I got this one.
Well, wait. What? Yeah? Members have changed over, no? There's been some change
over the years.
On the new single, there's new people in it.
To explain the formation, you know, core members, Anathema, Cyrus Malachi, Melanin 9, Nashiron. We go to Darker Than Black. The same three I just mentioned are there. The add-ons there will be Solar Black, you know, Iron Braids, who's now Fly Hooligan, myself, Rings of Saturn, producer, Bad Company, a producer, Tesla's Ghost. We also have Blasphemy, who was closely, you know, affiliated with them, and Black Prophet. So we all join for the second. That's when we become the all-star team on the second one. There's a lot of guys, you know, and then...
Those spitters there, man, Maddie. That list of spitters. Who were the last two dudes?
That was Blasphemy and Black Prophet, which weren't they weren't involved in a recent album, you know, and neither was Iron Braids. He's Fly Hooligan now. He wasn't involved either. Bad Company.
What about Nine? What's Nine say?
Nine stepped aside, you know. Nine is just...
Recently stepped aside,
Like, Nine's recently... Big up M9. You know, Nine's recently stepped aside.
Every time.
Yeah, he's on other ventures, but, you know, Nine's pen is just... It's probably just floating somewhere in the ethers right now, just with a flame around it. Just like, I dare someone touch this. I can leave it here till I want it. And I hope he comes back and just grabs it when he's ready and just continues. Yeah.
I big up M9, man.
And did you guys do you meet each other? Do you like know each other? You're all acquainted already? Or do you hear each other's music and you go, no, I need this guy down with the crew? Or like, you know, how did you reach out to each other?
Triple Darkness found out about me through Endemic. Big up Endemic. I've got something coming with him soon, producer Endemic. He's the producer of Cyrus Malachi's first album, Ancient Future. So Endemic's just scanning through the internet like he does. And he sees a video of myself and, you know, my brother, my beloved brother, Tesla's Ghost. It's called Beautiful Horror. And we just done it just like a one-off. We wanted to get this video thing on the YouTube to try and get some visual things out there. And Endemic sees it. And he leaves a comment on the video in the threads of the comments. And I don't see it. Tesla sees it, gives me a call. And he goes, you know, in our video, someone's saying Ray Vendetta, can you contact da-da-da-da-da, No Cure Records. He said it looks pretty legit. He said it doesn't look like any kind of like, you know, robot shit. I goes, contact it on my behalf. It's probably some bullshit anyway. Yeah. And he contacts it and it's Endemic. And he's, I love you lot of stuff. Been looking at the bits and bits you do have up, you know, boom. And I think Triple Darkness saw it from Endemic. And the world is small because M9 and Cyrus at the time are working with Jesus, who's known as Dot I now. They're doing bits and bits of him musically. And I'm working with Jesus as well, making my debut EP.
Jesus is nice. Yeah,
in the same studio. So he goes to me, I'm working with Nine and Cyrus. I goes, yo, the Triple Darkness boys, they're dope. Boom, boom. Not knowing that they know about me already and want me in the group and the team. It's crazy how everything just came around.
Nice.
Yeah,
man.
The stars aligned.
Yeah, they aligned. I've got a track called that, you know, they aligned, you know. So
There we go, man. I mean, let's get into this track, man. Triple Darkness. I think this only came out a couple months ago. It's called The Thin Veil.
First single of Kurayami.
New single from the new album.
This is the
Kurayami album. This is all on Bandcamp. All the links will be below this video or in the description, so you can check all that out. This was produced by Tony Mahoney. There we go.
Up, Tony. All right, cool.
Yeah, let's get into this, man. There it is. The Thin Veil. There we go. Give it a second.
It's well set up.
There we go.
Look me in the eye like a conical. I wanna know why, like the Nuremberg Chronicle. On the verge of a purge, the dishonorable. Fully submerged, the tablet is soluble. Brothers getting bodied, it's abominable. Traces of DNA left in a follicle, it's fucking horrible.
Poverty's the pavement, levitating movement. Ex-mutant, run shit, the black Putin. Butane for all those highfalutin. You aim, he aim, no one shooting, so pass-aggressive. I can't pull my dog the way pass aggressive. You see my Aki's do the war for me. Cold blooded go to war for me. Pure passion in the mullet.
Yo, it's all a piece of me. Peeps cease to be without a sense of peace. Yeah. Bodies falling from aeroplanes trying to flee the scene. Lucifer on the warpath like eating a meme. Propaganda cooked up and force fed the starving breed. Dying for truth, one lie can kill a thousand dreams. Prophets are analyzing what's between hearts and schemes. Playing the devil's advocate with an ounce of trees. Suicidal thoughts contort and get you while you sleep.
Hidden knowledge, these city streets, the modern Sodom. Soldiers dying for stripes, legacy gone forgotten. Sisters lying for spite, levels of treachery. Accidental murderers purge and leave their friends to bleed. Detrimental movements, karma circles, the clock face. Bullies turn to nuisance, serve you up with a hot plate. That's a course of shows, ain't no pearl in it. Everything to be will be, that's affirmative. Put a fist scale with measurements, alchemical elements, power and greed. You relished it on the altar raised by wolves, his embellishments. Holy choir of angels and the cherubim. Lucifer loved the light and everything it brings. Metal make him dance like a shaman king. Need more time to think, A1's in Mandarin. Jumped out of the group with a Cheshire grin. Got played like Corelli's mandolin. Slaughtered by the palace gin, now you sink or swim. Thought swift as the wind, deeper than Pacific Rim. Apply heat to your dome like dim sum. You win some,
who's
you
lose some.
Outcomes remain gruesome. Neck in the shoes, it won't loosen.
Welcome to the future, we never had a chance. Mankind, our species have never lost. We saw Mars, some will understand the reference. Some will scratch their heads with no comprehension. Oh well, teach self to teach others. OC, 98, deep cover. Burn rubber, banged out the war drummer. Straps, lethal weapon, Danny Glover.
Forged in a dark place, child of the dark race. My heart paced like 50 deadlifts. All I see is red mist. I find peace in the center of a tempest. All between the sheets of a temptress. 12 goons making moves on them benches. Staring at doom through them lenses. The image of a handcuff. Peace them youngers getting stabbed up on cobbled alleys. Still nozzles and ballies. Cast away like shrubbery in rotten valleys. Pure thuggery with strallies. Hugging in corners like their pallies. Bugging informers like Ambra. Inner city wildlife recorded through the camera. It's constant pain like sciatica. Blood stains on the edges of a calendar. The conclusion is colder than Canada. The symbol is triangular. Spit is sicker than the sniffing from a fever that's glandular.
Vulgar is city, psychosis and hypnosis. Skin open like a painful toenail. That's ingrowing, revolving round the ills where we show no emotion. Repulsive rebels without a cause. Our kid bonings. That's been holding more still than optional automobiles. The soldiers born to destroy but never taught to rebuild. Cameras track ever cause the fact of the matter is that the more you conceal, then the more you
another tale of woe, behind the pale goals a halo holds. Snap decisions, apparitions of a clapper's victim. Fatal blow from his activism since 8 years old.
all his mannerisms. From petty thievery to vandalism, to sack machinery, his pragmatism. Hack the scenery like anarchism, vampirism and masochism. His plans backfire like pacifism, and I can't lack pride to channel wisdom.
Look me in the eye like a chronicle. I wanna know why, like the Nuremberg Chronicle. On the verge of a purge, the dishonorable, fully submerged, the tablet is soluble. Brothers getting bodied, it's abominable. Traces of DNA left in a follicle, it's fucking horrible.
Deep the amount shit. Of spitters on that, man. There's so many questions that are not questions, but bars that are
highfalutin. I heard man say highfalutin, you know. I love it when MCs, they use vocabulary, you know what I mean? Like cool words, you know, that don't get used. Even you, I swear on the song we played earlier, you mentioned Clubber Lang.
Yeah, Clubber Lang, that's like Mr. T when he was in Rocky, was Clubber Lang. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? And then I likened him to his A-list at, in A-Team at the same time. Clubber Lang, pity you fools. And then you got Noka Jane. Yeah, he's like, I pity the fool, used to say as Mr. T. So I said, Clubber Lang, A-Team, you got Noka Jane's. Yeah, man.
Dope.
But when I hear the spitters in Triple Darkness, then it reminds me, their voice, ones I don't listen to all the time. When I hear them, their voice reminds me of a verse that they spat on another tune.
Yeah.
And I can never remember. Some of the best verses I've heard for ages and ages. When I was saying, who's that, who's that, who's that?
Yeah.
Who did you say it was?
That was Crown Nectar and Nishiran. He would have been Nishiran on the first project.
Has he got a bar when he says something like, all you see is red and white tape from an old album? He's describing a scene. There's a helicopter flying over. All you see is red and white. I'm just trying to. I thought I might trigger your memory
maybe
with it.
Maybe so.
Because I've tried to Google it, but I can't remember it, man. But if I can remember the next line, then I'd spit the whole eight bars because it was so fucking good, man.
That's cool.
All of the spitters are on that.
Well, that's the thing. Like with tunes like that, when you've got like a posse cut, you know what I mean, with a bunch of people, you want people to hear your verse. Like everyone's battling to have the best verse. I mean, usually most MCs, when you're on a tune with someone, even if it's friendly, you don't want people listening to it go, oh, he got body.
But then it's
healthy competition within the group, like element of like putting a pussycat down, because everyone wants to better everyone, but it's in a good way. So it's like competitive sport, you know. If you don't come with your A game, it might get sucked under. It might be a good verse, but there might be great verses on the track.
And the thing is, that's the pressure, man.
You got to do it.
And you want that verse, even if it's on a posse cut and you might only have eight bars or whatever, but you want it to be so good, it will lead people to your solo stuff. Who's that dude? He stood out. And then,
maximum impact, of course. That's right. Yeah. I agree.
And I love that as well with Triple Darkness, all the different voices, you know, that's what I love about hip hop as well, about MCs, the individuality of your voice, let alone your bars.
Oh man, you're making me really want to find this verse of this. Oh man, I don't know how, I'll try and find it while we're chatting, but all of the people associated with Triple Darkness are fucking very, very elite level spitters. Bad Bones is just a feature. Is he getting like
inducted into the team for the third LP? Obviously, as I stated before, the track, Braids wasn't involved anymore. Either was Nine in that kind of way, capacity of spitting. Either was Black Prophet or Blasphemy. So we were missing 4 MCs in all honesty from this project.
Yeah.
So, Bad Bones coming in and Safwan, aka The Freyers, coming in. You know, they were good additions to the team. It didn't sound out of place in any kind of type of way. I know the fans and supporters have embraced the album in the same kind of way, bringing MCs that.
No. They're all the same sort of kind of style and level.
Yeah.
Maddie, when I used to, when I was first getting to know M9, and then for the couple of years we did shit together, every time I saw him, I'd be like, yo, when am I getting in TD? You know what I mean? When I'm sending in my CV, like Boom Bap Festival, I was remember doing it with him. Both times we did it, our sets were quite near each other. I can't remember who was chatting. I was like, yo, when's Theme getting in fucking TD? That's what I'm saying. He's like, no, soon. But he never said soon. He said, there's going to be different extensions coming extensions off different affiliate groups.
Yeah, yeah.
You're top of the list for the affiliate group and all that kind of shit. Yeah. And I used to think, yeah, but I kind of want to be in TD. You know what I mean?
I heard that. I'm sure you wasn't the only one during that time, you know?
Man, Triple Darkness.
No, that's deep. Well, we got this track here as well. I mean, I know we're going through the tracks, but we got quite a few to go through, man. Like this one is one with Theme and Ray Vendetta and Tesla's Ghost.
Yes, man.
Rapper's worst nightmare. I know there's a little story behind this song as well, but let's give it a listen first, yeah? And then we'll go into it.
All right. Seventh Dan.
Tesla's Ghost, Ray Vendetta, Rapper's Worst Nightmare.
It's a rapper's worst nightmare. My rapid words fight breeze. My savage burst shatter nerves and damage all this light air. Light years ahead of any fellas that you might hear. It's quite clear my iron might lines can bite your right ear and spit the slice in your right for rhyming like a right queer. Seventh Dan makes me want to fight a man right here. Dissect their dialects and digest their vitals. These guys weren't designed to be rhyme asylum disciples. Bunning pure rappers raw like drawing on an idol. Performing since I was born is flawless my recital. My spit game insane, scripts made big names, quickly quit the ink stains and set it like the lyric books. Little crooks, bigger like they're swinging when McGuigan tooks. Get riddled with six syllables, slitting them into slithers. Then I'll simmer them in cinnamon until it's cooked. My skill can make the riddles shut. My ill and put me spitters quickly realize that they're riddles. I'm in your yard, smack a rap the light lights out. It's our game, we're telling veterans to pipe down.
We're all yelling in the cypher, getting hyped now. And then we step up in the cypher and they quiet down.
Store up in your yard, smack a rap the light lights out. It's our game, we're telling veterans to pipe down.
They're all yelling in the cypher, getting hyped now. And then we step up in the cypher and they quiet down. I sat and passed the chest, many flying colours. I chill amongst the best, I don't mind the others. Every 16, I write, I need to spit and spill. I'm on the net, but yet you never saw me on the bill. I'm on your neck, a dozen deer, scrambling in fear. Fuck your chat, dead, you're rambling when I get near. Fuck your rats, dash to scrap, separate the trash. Rappers turn to rent where it's fast, selling ass for cash. If they're the puppet, who's the puppeteer? Your whole skill level's basic, as nothing near. Levels that I walk on, peeking at the summit. Blast a plane out of the sky to watch it plummet. Glazed eyes rolling up cheese, the bliss bunning. Spray darts, AK verse, you'll get done in. Make marks, planting my flag, King Goliath. Break hearts, waving my swag, bonfires.
Storm up in your yard, smack a rapper like lights out. It's our game, telling veterans to pipe down.
We're all yelling in the cypher, getting hyped now. And then we step up in the cypher and they quiet down.
Storm up in your yard, smack a rapper like lights out. It's our game, we're telling veterans to pipe down.
They're all yelling in the cypher, getting hyped now. Then we step up in the cypher and it quiet down.
24-hour brain surgeon, all night sneak charmer. Peter Parker, drown me in hell, the lava. Scarab logo, breakbacks in the dojo. I spin a kick in the wind. Dragon's fin, dragon's wing, the sting crown of the king. Shaolin, reinforced steel armored limbs. Cold Beijing, lost in the blood fortress. Slow as a tortoise, shot slump you like a walrus. Many courses, I dine on MC corpses. Stone Cold manga, real life Highlander. Drain the life force, swoop like a pterodactyl. Cut the life source, nothing you say is factual. Cannon splat you, spirit army attack you. Magog, I'm a general in the service. You lack purpose, display when you spit verses. Spit curses, leave Satan in your church.
Pull up in your yard, smack a rapper like lights up. It's our game, tell the veterans to pipe down. Tesla's got one of those bars as well. Tesla's got so many bars, and when I hear his voice, I'm like, oh, that bar. From different tunes, bruv. Even while he's spitting on the, fuck me.
Brother Tesla, he's one of one. Big up, brother Tesla, he's one of one. He's always been an incredible MC. He's always been of
incredible.
That caliber. Yeah, he's always been of that level and caliber. It's just got better over the years. Yeah, man. It's just like, yeah, man.
Is Tesla's
when he said that lyric about?
Is he Arabic? Is he Arabic?
No,
of origin?
Robert Tesla is a Cypriot, Cyprus.
Cypriot,
he's a Greek Cypriot. Yeah.
Salute,
Tesla.
Cyprus, the land of Cyprus, brother Tesla.
But you've got a group with him called The Odd Couple.
Yeah, we are The Odd Couple. That's our duo name from, it's been about 10 years we've been The Odd Couple now. We've got a project out, this thing of ours, Prelude, you can get prestigious recordings. It's not on digital platforms. Yeah. You can only get hard copies of that, or I think still download it somewhere.
Bankrupt. Oh, yeah, you do that a lot. A lot of your shit sold out.
Yeah.
A lot of, when you go to your different places where you can buy your stuff, which is a lot of places as well, by the way, you're doing that really well.
There's no more of that,
but a lot of it sold out. Bam, bam, sold out.
I keep that niche just for the fans, so I don't do a lot of copies of anything that I put out. So once they kind of see it, they'll just try and grab it. So I try and make it unique, because in this era of digital downloads and just music being so accessible and disposable and just like, one day I'm into it and then it's just, I'm downloading five other albums tomorrow and I just forgot about those other three. Yeah, so I try and give the fans like still of the old school era, so like tangible product, something you can hold, look at it,
wise, and yeah, you're right, it makes it more special for the consumer. Yeah, like you said, it's something tangible, something you can feel,
hold in your hand. Yeah, I've got this, more man. Special. I'm one of the only 50 people to have this on the whole planet. You know, you feel a bit more special about what you're holding in your hand. It's not so disposable to you anymore, you know. Exactly. So yeah, I feel like
was the album Tesla dropped, he's dropped that was a few years back now. But he had that. That was all physical copies, tapes and CDs.
Tesla's been on an incredible run, from Stretch Lincolns to the Legion project, to the Amar Farouk project, to the U-Bolt Chess Games project.
Yeah.
Now he's got Digital Shrapnel out, and that's like a double CD of just all these projects, just because all his stuff is sold out. Tesla was clever. His new projects is a collection of all his project since he started Dark Fleet, you know, with Rings of Saturn, Saturn Division, they're called, Rings of Saturn and Tesla or Dark Fleet, Saturn Division. So every project he's put out under that umbrella, he's put on Digital Shrapnel now, and it's like a double CD offering in a DVD case, and it comes with a whole, just, you know, Tesla makes everything.
Nice.
The one I bought came with a little, like, Persian rug.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Little prayer mat. Yeah, that's a Mal Farouk probably. I think that came with a rug. If you got the first copies of Farouk, it came with a little rug and
complimentary. The first 50 copies and, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had like I think it had the book of the lyrics in it. Yeah, it did.
But I know it definitely came with a rug.
And that was he had a tune that like about his, I can't remember, but he's rare, like White Rhino in Botswana. The rhyme scheme he was on at that time. I got something about his barber comes from San Anedo, White Rhino.
Yeah, my barber, Botswana. My barber come from Ghana, something chop it down like a right, something rhino and something Botswana. Yeah, I know the boy you're talking about. Big up Mikey.
I'm sending him voice notes on Instagram, sending him voice notes on WhatsApp, going, fucking White Rhino in Botswana,
Man. You're talking about Mikey.
I'm looking at his last message he sent me. He's like, brother, just spat out my fucking tea listening to that. My juice listening to that.
I laughed when I heard that. I looked at MT when I first heard that bar, and I was like, yeah, you killed it. Because we both know the guy he's talking about, his barber in it at the time.
Heavy. And the cadence in it, the rhyme pattern in it is hard. And the voice, again, the voice, man.
Yeah,
but wasn't there?
So that tune we just played there—that's what we never even talked about. What's it called? Rapper's Worst Nightmare.
Swinging like McGuigan
and Tesla.
What's it? Swinging like McGuigan, and I'm sizzling and cinnamon.
Yeah, man. Barrage full of punches.
The flow and that's incredible, man. It's all ill, that track. Everyone attacks it in a different way, but then it just all fits together and it's like perfect.
And the video brought it well together, man.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, there's a video.
Global Faction.
Big up Abdul, Global Faction. Yeah, man, that was a great video. That was a cold night. I remember it was Blitz. You know, and we found a good
spot. He always knew where to go.
He had a good eye.
He did some sick videos, man.
Abdul has a very good eye for just, you know.
And Rings of Saturn, he does a lot of visuals, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's got Seven Rings Entertainment or Seven Rings Productions, which is just basically his videos. He's done a lot for TD, myself, Tesla. Most of Tesla's videos are Rings of Saturn.
I love him, man. I love his atmospheric kind of style, man. He's fucking sick.
Yeah. It's Rings of Saturn. Rings with a Z and of O-V Saturn. Rings of Saturn on YouTube. Look him up, man.
Yeah, that's one word, Rings of a Z, and the of is O-V, and it's one word, no spaces. Rings of Saturn.
Yeah.
great videos on there.
Yeah, he does some great stuff. Man. So he's like kind of your go-to
great,
guy.
Great shit.
Him and what's the other one? The who's the other guy who makes the videos?
Oh, Tommy Biz.
Global.
Biz. We got Tommy Biz. We got Global Faction, which is Abdul.
Global Faction.
Mentioned. He made Rapper's Worst Nightmare. I haven't made a video of Global Faction in some amount of years, but you know, during a certain period of time, Global Faction was shooting videos for TD, i.e. Cyrus, M9, Tesla's Ghost, myself, you know. So yeah, Global Faction is very, very closely connected to the whole movement of what we do. Big up Global once again.
Didn't they do that video that we were doing the graph in the background? Fucking, why are you boasting?
Why are you boasting, fam?
Who was the rapper again? Remind me.
Man, I listened to him the other day. Just because of that tune. I'll have to find it.
Yeah. But there's a video.
He suddenly popped back up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Are you looking for it?
Yeah, I want to find out that guy's name. I can't remember what it is. Non-applicable. That's it. Non-applicable.
Yeah. So I was like, and fucking, I was basically like a cheerleader. Yeah, I was a triple darkness cheerleader. When they were all over the place, I was going mental because that's the kind of hip hop I wanted to listen to. You know what I mean? And there was all kind of, there was all the veterans and everything, like Chess and Skinny and everything. But there was a lot of kind of like this just mad, you know what I mean? I don't know what to call it, like kind of white boy wasted hip hop, you know what I mean? Like mad drug, mad kind of. And I was thinking, I was stuck in the middle. I was trying to do like bars and Liverpool and blah, blah, blah. And then I heard them lot and I was like, fucking yes, like finally someone on the same kind of wavelength there. Immediately contact all of them, bam, bam, bam. And then me and Ray and Tesla set up that tune there. That was 2014.
Yeah. 14, it's a long time, man. That's over 10 years.
That tune went really well, man.
It did, man. It's over 10 years. It's like, as artists, we don't really take time to like stop and look back on what we've done and what we've put down and what we've just put out into the world. And it's nice that you say that now, and it's been 11 years deep. And, you know, it still stands strong. You played it and it sounds new. Rest in peace and power to that 7th Daniel, Danzini the Great. You know, his stuff always sounds as fresh as it was the day he made it. It means his stuff will forever be immortal. And
I'm still looking for it now. Yeah. I'm still looking for that kind of 7. He never played me anything that I wasn't like, can I have that?
Same. Yeah, I mean, he never played me nothing I didn't that? Like. He was the same. Yeah. When he played it for me, it's just nothing I didn't like. And when I liked stuff, he'd say, oh, Tesla's got it, or I gave it to someone else. And I'd just be like, oh, well, make me one like this. And he'd play me something else 10 seconds later. And I'd be like, yeah, that's it. That's the one. Yeah, I'll take that.
His sound, bruv, his sound was like, he encapsulated all of like the necessary shit that you need. You know what I mean?
Elements,
but it was also like a mad London kind of street vibe to it, but it was that, oh man,
well it's like all the
best elements of like everything from East Coast old school America.
Dan was an incredible producer,
like a London vibe kind of man.
I'm honored I got to see him at work and just putting those beats together and some of those classic tracks that are now considered classic. I was in the studio sitting with him and he just used to do it like it was nothing. It was effortless, easy.
Man, he's so good. I've got some, you know, when you've got, I've got, since he's passed, I've still got the beats that I was doing with him. Yeah.
Wow.
But I've only got them on, like, you know, I mean, MP3 or some shit from when he emailed it. I haven't got the WAVs, but I've always thought, fuck that. Shall I just fucking get someone who's really good at mastering or some shit and just say, listen, I've only got these stems. I'm not even the stems.
Funny you should say that,
Theme.
His brother, Johnny Data, who's part of Dark Side of the Moon, big up Joff, was thinking about that X amount of years back. I think before lockdown kicked him, Joff, Data, Rings of Saturn, and one other person, I think maybe Tesla, were thinking about gathering Dan tracks together that people had or whatever we had still there in our vaults and making something in tribute to him. You know, it didn't come into fruition.
It might definitely be worth it because
I think it's something that should still be done.
Style.
Yeah,
the
something.
Style of the beat.
Because his circle was so, you know, expansive, who we worked with, and the levels we know already as MCs, that something like that to honor his name and continue his legacy on in that way would be really nice. I'm looking to re-release my first Triple Darkness EP this year that Dan produced all of it. Seven Swords of Light is one.
Really?
Yeah, the supporters have asked me for that for years, and I just didn't do it, especially after he passed away in the physical. It's just like, You know, it's something that I don't really want to revisit unless it's done the right way in his honor and his name and his legacy. Mm. So I've spoken with his brother. He's given me the green light. That's going to come out this year. I wasn't meant to
really. What else you got planned for this year?
This year, I've got a prestigious LP coming out that's got the whole roster involved. I've got an EP that's soon to come out. It's been mixed and mastered. I've got it. I wish I could have played some to you guys right now. If I could have connected the speaker, a little preview of that with Palmer Eldritch from Golden and Mixer Records. You know, we've got a little projects ready. And I'm working with Endemic on Legacy Agenda Part 4. And just numerous EPs that I'm producing with, you know, the close circle, the roster, just trying to keep busy. And some art shit that I want to talk about. I'm not going to say nothing about that, like visual stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, you got so much shit. You always got so much shit bubbling.
If people want to keep up to date with what you got dropping and coming out, like, is the best? Where's the best place to follow you, man?
Go on the social networks. Find me on Instagram as Ray_Vendetta. Find me on Facebook as the same thing. Find me on Twitter as the same thing. You can also check on Instagram. There's prestigious recordings. There's prestigious arts. And Bandcamp, we're on bandcamp.com as well. Just type in prestigious recordings. You'll get the whole discography, anything else, any merch you need to get. Yeah, and I'm also on TikTok. I got on that recently, you know. Big up the youth and the youngsters, you know. You got music and all this stuff. You should put your videos. Friends of mine are saying that are in there. You know, you do music. Yeah. People do stupid shit on TikTok. You actually do something that, you know, will enlighten people and put your music up on it. See how it works. So, I've been messing with that recently. I've got a TikTok too. Same thing, Ray_Vendetta. Ray Vendetta, one word, whatever it is. Go and check that out. I'm not used to it. I don't check it or anything. I won't follow you back. I'm telling you now. But just you can just go and just look at it.
Yeah, you go keep up to date.
Work rate.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All the links below, man. Definitely, I think the Bandcamp is probably the most useful one, man.
Yeah, that's the one. People. That's the one.
Go support, man. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing. Like, on an independent level, you know, it's so much about the consumer. Well, the consumer, the people who love hip-hop, who love what you do, to get the stuff straight to them and for them to support, man, to keep shit going, man.
Yeah, that's the only way that, you know, you see the ecosystem and this, like, the food chain that I'm in with what I do. The only way it can maintain and stay alive is if people are supporting it. So my fans are my number one priority when I'm my supporters when I'm making things, because they are the ones at the end of the day that are going out and supporting that. And I'm posting it to numerous countries around the planet. I never would have imagined I'd be sending CDs to Colombia, Canada, Australia, Estonia.
Oh, I love that.
The list goes on and they just love the shit. Some of them, it's not even... English is not even their first language and they're still embracing some stuff that someone down the road would probably shun it if they heard me playing it. Like, fuck you. If it's someone like 1,000 miles away, we might play it too far. I love it. So this is the beauty.
They can feel it. They can feel it. They might not even
know. They're listening to Ray Vendetta in Colombia.
In Colombia. Yeah. This girl in Colombia was a Triple Darkness fan and she got up like me, Tester's Ghost, I think maybe Cyrus the Nine. She had a Triple Darkness tattoo, the scarab on the back of her neck. Wow. And she lived in Bogota, Colombia. I was tripping when I saw it. I was like, oh shit.
Yes.
That's deep.
There's the Latinas.
She had it on the back of her neck.
And do you know what? Because she's playing it and no one else knows what it is, all of her friends, her circle of people, they'd all be like, yo, what is that? You know what I mean? You'd be like, yo, this is Triple Darkness.
Yeah, they'd be like, ¿Qué hizo, cara?
Exactly. Listen to that, man. She just told them, man, don't be a puta. Just listen to that, man. Yeah, don't be a puta. Yeah, man. Don't be that, man. Listen to this shit.
Sending records and sending merch all around the world, bro.
It's lovely, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get messages from people on social media and they've tagged your album cover and posted it. I just received this and it's nice because when I came in listening to the UK scene, it was still very vinyl based. Try and get your record to a DJ, get it played on a show. Street teams are out there, as you know, theme out there everywhere, shutting mixtapes. There was an era that was that. And then the video era came in, Channel U. Obviously, the internet followed that through and it changed everything. Some couldn't keep up with the wave. They drowned in the waters. So, and others just, you know, they surfed their way along and kept relevant and move with the time. So it's what we kind of tried to do in the shift.
I remember going to all the record shops around London that I knew would take records. What was that thing called? You take them in and if you sold some, you get them out.
Yeah, that's Salem Return that you give them, like, yeah.
Salem Return, yeah, 40 copies. It, yeah.
If they sold
all around London, fucking, yeah, will you take 10? Will you take 20? Yeah, whatever, you know.
And
what
you
mean?
Drop them in, whatever they sell, that's it. They take a percentage.
And then you have to go all around again to get the fucking P.
What they have the P and what they didn't sell, you take it back. Yeah, yeah. I remember that era too.
All of that, yeah. But now you can, like, it's wicked. I like the way you sent. You do all, like, the nice. Well, sometimes you do, like, the nice physical bits that you can ship out to people and stuff.
Yeah,
and then, like,
yeah,
you said,
I like
they have
to
a
do
physical
that.
Product.
Yeah, I might give them some artwork.
It is much better.
I done a project with Jesus recently, you know, and you know, he gave me some beats he'd made in 2012. He found, like, an old folder of beats that he never knew he still had, and he's like, I really love them, but I've got no direction for them. Take them and just put people on them, and I've done that. I correlated a project that's come out on Prestigious Recordings. It's called Prestigious or Grievous, and it's got everybody on it. And I done some nice art with that. Gave the supporters some limited artwork with it, and yeah, made it that special.
Yeah,
it's nice to work on projects like that, you know, just correlate it.
It's exactly what you said, because when you said before, like, you know, I mean, people download something and they download, and by the time. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
they
forget
me.
About a theme. It's just like it's microwavable. And, you know, even I'm guilty of doing that sometimes. When I go on YouTube for, like, over a week and I listen to, say, like, a new V-Don project, and Rock Masters dropped that week, and Flea Lords dropped that week, and someone in the UK's dropped that week, and you get so oversaturated with albums, and a lot of them are great albums. Mm. You need to allow your brain the time to absorb them and come back. So I try to not make anything disposable. If I like an album now, I'm going to download it. I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to listen to it properly. You know, I'm going to want to know what it's
because
about.
When I, that's exactly it, because you need to give it the time to listen to it. When I've got Spotify, so when I hear a tune I like, or if I search one and they've actually got it for once, I'll like it.
Yeah.
But by the time I've then liked, like, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more tunes, you know what I mean? So I might not hear that fucking tune that I really like for ages.
You might not hear it.
Until I remember, oh shit, they're nice.
That album,
and you have to, like, scroll through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. That's why I'm like.
It's much better to do the physical thing, man.
Yeah, physical thing in this era of playlists and just, like, liking singles. And I don't think the youngsters don't really appreciate a good LP as well. I think. That's like a dying art of listening to a project all the way through. I don't think the youngsters do that. I've got children, you know, that, like, teenagers and shit.
No, it's
got
to be quick.
Yeah,
they're
like singles, that one tune that's catchy and you like the hook or the verse and it's nice or the music. Yeah. And you didn't even listen to the album. Well, who's this guy? Like, what is it all about? Can I have a project? And it's just, like, they're not really investing in artists like that now, the youngsters. Yeah. It's just like, who's the hot shit?
Yeah, and also the playlist era now, it's like kind
of
ruined the album. You know, albums, you'd listen to it from front to back and it was structured in a way that took you on a journey, you know what I mean? And
you take out the fucking leaflet, read it all.
Yeah, read the inlay, who produced it, where the sample came from, all of that. I'm from that era.
Where the address of the label is, like, every single thing while you're playing.
I read the booklet, I read the liner notes of albums. Yeah. That was a pleasure to me to buy an album, take the plastic off, fling it in the CD player, and just start reading the booklet straight away. I want to know who produced it, who sampled. I want to know what my favorite artist's real name was. It'll have, like, M. Dot and their surname. You're like, that must be their government name.
Like Calvin Broadus.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Snoop Dogg, and you know your favorite artist's name just through the liner notes, because you'll see it on every track. You just have the same initial. Yeah, so, one of those things are dying off in the thing now. And it made you appreciate those albums more. You know, and then they had a photo shoot, and you see how they put it together, and there's a theme for the album. You know, no pun intended in this theme. There's a theme for the album. It's following a kind of, like, you know what I mean? You guys know.
Yeah.
From there.
A few people, I mean, there's still people out there making music like that. They still exist. Like, you're a great example of that. You know what I mean? There are still people out there. You just got to dig for it and have that sensibility. You know what I mean? Definitely people of our age, around our age, you know, people,
of
they
course.
Still have that because we still remember what it was like. You know what I mean? But I meet some young people nowadays, man. I recommend music to them and they go off and then they come back and go, man,
yeah,
I can't
they
stop
check
listening
it out.
To it.
Definitely.
I'm from
big families as well, younger cousins, and, you know, they're not shy to check out something that they know I would have liked to guys and girls from my era like, because they see what I'm doing.
That's the gatekeeper aspect of it. Because when we were younger, we've been saying, you know, there was only a couple of hours on the radio. You know, there was a certain person you'd listen to. You knew he was going to play the good shit, the new stuff. You know what I mean? And like we had And people would have, like you said, cousins or older brothers or whatever, and they—that's how they got their information. There was no,
of course, yeah, you know, internet music, and all
that.
Yeah.
And now, like, it's algorithms. You know, this song. Yeah. If you like this song, now you should like
that
this
one. You see that fucking, one and that one. Yeah.
I always hated that stuff. The algorithm. I'd much rather get my recommendations from another human being, man.
I'm the same. You know what I mean? I'm still the same when I go to like friends of mine and we're talking music, and I might just be like raving about an album that's just come out, and they don't even know what that is, because obviously everyone's ears and eyes are in different places. And I'll be like, yo, really listen to that. When you go on your Spotify next, or you're flicking for YouTube, type this in. I'll even send you the link. I'll send you a message of the link, and they listen to the album and get back and be like, whoa, what, how did I not see this or know about this? I'm just like, this is how the internet's become. And I heard something the other day about 5,000-10,000 new songs come out every day, and just, you know, in the digital world, and it's just like, where do you figure when 10,000 new songs is coming out daily, every 24 hours? Exactly. You fall into a slipstream. So what you do has to really stand out in this new era. If it's not standing out and doesn't stand alone in itself, I think it's already a losing battle. Because you can be generic, but generic in this age is like really hard. You get completely slipped away.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember another difference from back in the day is like because I work with a lot of younger people, and when I chat to them about it, it's most of them, when you say, oh, are you into music? They always go, yeah. And I go, oh, what are you into? And then they'll say, I'm into everything, you know, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But like, I remember when we were younger, there was rock heads here. There was skater guys there. There was hip hop heads here.
Everyone and you could tell we all.
Yeah, and there was some crossover, but ultimately people were passionate about a certain genre, you know, and they just
and you stuck to that and you supported it deeply, the artist that you like. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's like the line between that has been blurred now.
Because now it's just
dedicated everywhere. Your life to it, your goals, shit in your house, like everything. Yeah.
What you take in, the books you read, what you smoke, what you eat, it's just all influenced off like what you're taking in. I totally agree with that. Hip-hop, I tell people this sometimes, they look at me like sideways, left and right, and it's just like hip-hop taught me more than like my school teachers, like, believe it or not. Mm. It made me research more stuff. It made me look at my life in a certain way. It made me be like a rounded individual, you know, hearing these tales of just like street shit, you know, knowledgeable shit, everything just in a melting pot. It made me a more rounded individual. Yeah, man. It's a lovely culture. It's a beautiful culture because it inspired us in ways that we didn't even know, and it unlocked things in us that we didn't think that we had in us. So, you know, it's a beautiful culture within itself.
I mean, it's so beautiful how hip hop, when it first came about, like we're all the way in the other side of the world, but it was started in the Bronx, you know what I mean? Exactly. By young kids, like in poverty, like digging into their parents' record collection and making beats out of it. Like renewing, like what's that phrase? I think Grandmaster Caz says this famous phrase. He goes, hip hop didn't invent anything, but it reinvented everything. Like taking those old James Brown records, taking all these old records and reinventing them into something else. And back then, the fashion, even, it was just all about customizing your own clothes, writing some graph on the sleeve, you know what I mean? Like taking something that already exists and then making it hip hop, you know? And I love that era, man.
Do you remember how diehard it was though when you were a kid? Like, you know, right now I've decided I'm gonna be like a hip hop head. You know what I mean? So you would anyone like into like Metallica, Guns N' Roses, or anyone into, you'd be like, nah, that's dead, bruv. That's dead, bruv. I'm pure hip hop, bruv.
Yeah. Me and K Zorro, big up K Zorro in general of New Guards here. We were talking about exactly what you just said, theme the other day, and it's the same. Remember when we were like heavy into this thing and we were anti, and he was specific on the anti. He said anti. That, remember when we were
specific
like, we were just anti-grime. Remember when he said we were anti-grime? Everyone was going on this grime wave. It was changing slowly. The two-step, you know, Raven Crew Garage was turning into that dark grime. And we were like bona fide hip-hop heads at this point. So it's just like, we go to the parties and the dances, dance to the gram, even grab the mic sometimes and slow down our flows that we're developing new at the time and try and just bounce on these garage tracks. But we're just anti. It was like, if it's not this real hip-hop, it's not Wu-Tang, if it ain't some mob shit, if it ain't some, we're not interested. Yeah. We are very anti. So coming back to what you two just said about everyone being defined in what they like.
Yeah, and those them lot would represent hard as well, man. They'd be like Ben Sherman shirts, yeah. Iceberg jackets. Yeah. You know what I mean? Reebok classic yeah. with the gum yeah, sole.
I wear the classics, man. They're on my feet, man. Yeah. Yeah. Wait. I wear those shits, man.
Yeah, man. But the raving crew. You know what I mean? Like the garage and jungle and all, they were, that's like their uniform. Yeah, man, you know what I mean? You could tell from a mile away, man. And then there was like grunge heads who had like their keys on like their keychains
and they're wearing black. Yeah. It's just
and everyone. And then skateboard and shit. And then you'd have like the heavy metal lot who you just thought were like fucking like
that. Everyone had their little vibe. It's true.
Then you'd have the
It was never like, I like everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly, man. Exactly. And the kids now, I think that whole algorithm and Spotify, how everyone's just getting 10,000 songs a day.
Exactly.
They just say, look, I'm into everything. You know, they just like, they probably don't even differentiate now. They're, like everything, there's so much gray area between R&B and hip hop now, or even dance music and hip hop. It's like kind of now it's all kind of crossed over and everyone's doing everything, especially on that commercial level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
But like,
there's so many different ways of like of being a microphone general, you know what I mean? Now you've got grime, you could still be garage, you know what I mean? People are still doing garage. You've got jungle MCs, grime MCs, garage MCs, drill MCs, hip-hop MCs, rap. Mm. Like there's a kind of, even in the UK, there's like a rap kind, like people like K-Coke and people like that will be considered like rap, you know what I mean? Yeah. But they wouldn't generally be like hip-hop. There's all bare different ways of being a microphone tactician. Yeah. So it's like much more, it's branched out a lot more. There's loads of different avenues in that shit. Whereas before, you'd be a jungle MC, garage MC, or hip-hop MC. That was it.
Mm. Well, MCs. No, there was a bit of crossover between jungle and hip-hop, I think, because it was only...
Yeah, I was going to say, hip-hop's the only one. Yeah, hip-hop, if you were like a grunge kid, you'd listen to some hip-hop. You'd probably listen to like Warren G, Regulate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you were like a fucking garage and jungle head, you'd still listen to like hip-hop.
You'd be on Jay-Z and all that. You'd be into Jay-Z and that.
Yeah, you'd probably be into stuff like that. Hip-hop was the... But if you were like a metal head, no one else was listening to your shit, you know what I mean?
No, not at all, man.
Hip-hop was spread out to everyone.
Yeah. I think during the time of me becoming a hip-hop head, just before that, let's just say, prior to that, it would have been like R&B, you know, Bashment at that era, that like the reggae stuff is what's playing in my household. What my mother would play around me. She had an eclectic taste. She liked pop music too, so she had a wide taste. But hip hop took me on because my uncle's a sound man. One of them was into jungle. One of them played out and had a little.
Is it? I was going to ask if you had any jungle roots.
Did you ever
do a little bit?
We got my uncle Paul Ibifa. He's like one of the pioneer founders of jungle. You know, when they actually started doing that jungle late 80s into the 90s, my uncle was one of those, like, you know, pushing it for trailblazers of that movement. There's documentaries about him on YouTube. Paul Ibifa. You can check his name. There's documentaries on him. He's very instrumental in jungle, you know, the prominent rise of jungle, and then obviously it getting pushed back to the underground and whatnot. But yeah.
I was a baby boy,
6-7 years old. I know a lot of the MCs through my uncle, you know, the Dets, the Shubbers, Skibbers, rest in peace, you know, IC3, Nicky Black Market, you know, all of those names that were like synonymous to that movement are friends of my uncle. He's dealt with them along the way. So yeah, I was a young child in that movement, not knowing what that was at my age. And now, as a man looking back at it, like this was a pivotal era in dance music and UK music history that my uncle was part of. So, you know, I was already on this trajectory.
I used to love it, already.
Yeah.
Well, we were so blessed.
We sometimes play jungle tracks.
Jungle, the energy that jungle contains is incredible. It was just an incredible like form of music, you know. Of the old records, once again, the old reggae records being that.
Exactly,
that
of them kind of Bashman rag. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they're speeding it up. They're putting a hip hop backdrop on it. They're speeding the hip hop drums up. You know, they're looping the reggae samples in a way that it gets to dance tempo, and it was very unique. You know, drum and bass is not jungle.
Man, it was nice.
Yeah, it's just different. No. Yeah, drum and bass is what grime is off garage. That's what you could basically say is a hybrid offshoot. But jungle is the purest original form of that form of music. to me.
Yeah. I always think drum and bass is like more, I just instantly think like
more electric. Yeah, it's more electric and just sci-fi-y and just noisy. My uncle calls it noise sometimes.
I want to hear that ragga sample.
Yeah, I want to hear the ragga. I want to hear KRS-One slow down. KRS-One sample slow down, chopping in your
Yeah, the techniques of making those jungle tracks were similar to the techniques they were making those hip hop tracks as well.
Exactly that. And I've seen the producers making those beats, and I can confirm that's 100% truth, because I've seen a jungle producer, you know, with his raw bones out on the screen, and just like he's putting this beat together from the top, and it always starts as a break beat. There's a really slow break beat at about 80, 90 BPM. I'm like, this is hip hop. Listening to it when I was in my teens watching
Johnny
C's. Salutes to Johnny C's, an incredible producer. But he started a lot of his beats from breakbeat hip hop drums. And then he speeded it up. He got the speed he wanted. And as soon as he had that running, it was just a matter of putting the samples and the sound and the bass line on it. It's made this exact same way hip hop's made.
A lot of those early jungle tracks as well, they were sampling like, what's that Redman sample? The When I Raise My Trigger.
That was a bit later, though. That was a bit later.
KRS-One, Redman was sampled in through hip-hop. Yeah, they were the voices that they took. I think even Chuck D at some point, they used a few bits. So it was like, jungle is definitely on the family tree of hip-hop, soul music, R&B. I think
that's good it is for you as well. Paul Ibiza's like a proper jungle originator, man.
He's a pioneer. He talks very strongly and powerfully about the movements and its real history. Whatever he's saying in the documentary, I can vouch for that, because I was a little boy, like, witnessing a lot of that stuff. The teenager, I started working for his imprints as a teenager. Three Lions recordings.
I love
SAS, that was Shabba and Skibber. Highly Blessed Movement. Yes.
You know what I mean? Hey, bro, this is sick. So not only were you having, like, the classics and that classic tunes from, like, you know what I mean? You're having, like, the original beginnings of that kind of London jungle.
Yeah. I was fully in that as a little kid.
That's mad music in the veins.
Yeah, I was a little boy around that stuff, so
That must have inspired, like, for you as from such a young age to see like, someone like your uncle affecting so many people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with the music, he was doing that movement. Young. It was inspirational, because when I started to embark on music, not even my uncle took me serious. He was just like, this must be a flash in the pan for my nephew, because, you know, I really do music, and now he wants to. But no one else in the family had chosen that pathway to kind of just, you know, want to do music behind him. So I was that guy. Being like his oldest nephew, his brother's oldest child. And you know, he started to take me seriously more over the years, seeing what I was doing. When I started Prestigious Recordings, he just gave me some random phone call. Yeah, I see what you're doing with this. Come and see me, bring what you got, and let's have a word. And I was like, okay, I'll bring what I had out at the time, the label's merch catalog, whatever. And I sat down with him and he said, it looks like you took in what you were seeing over the years around me. And I said, I always did. You know, always did. Self-sufficiency, independency, everything else. I was watching it. Don't think I wasn't. You know, I was a student going to college, a disciple of hip-hop, and learning from you at the same time. So I pull it all into the gumbo and just stir that shit up. Straight up, stir it up.
That's deep. That's deep, man. I was thinking, because we got to kind of start wrapping up in a minute, man.
No problem.
I've got two Ray Vendetta tunes here. I've got Pile On Pressure or No Future. Which one would you prefer, Mr. Ray?
Pile On Pressure.
Yeah, which one do you prefer,
Ray? Let's leave Pile On Pressure, because that's going to be on some new stuff, and I'm going to reintroduce that track to people. So play No Future, because it's the intro. Intro to Devastating Knockouts. Big up Tony Mahoney. That TD track you just played was a Tony Mahoney beat. He also produced this. You know, I wanted to make a very dark project around this time, and I thought he was the only guy I could go to for the sound I wanted. I wanted the TD sound again, you know, but, you know, rest in peace to Danzini, not being there in the physical. He was the guy I would have reached to. See, Freem's representing that, as always. So I thought Tony Mahoney was the next guy I could go to and just get that sound. He gave me a batch of beats, and this became the intro of the album. It wasn't my choice. Bad Effects told me to make this the intro of the project. He heard it, and he was sequencing and mixing, and he said, make this be the first track, and it was meant to be the third song.
It's such a good team, man. I love all that shit. My recommendation, Mike Tyson, on the front cover.
Yeah, Tyson's talking through the whole project. He's on the skits, you know, like, tying it together, because I call it Devastating Knockouts, because, as Theme said, like, we're heavyweight rappers. You know, when Theme says on McGuigan, You know, the hooks and that, the boxing references. I always reference boxing and MMA and Marvel and anime characters and just a lot of violence, smashing you to bits type of stuff, metaphors in my bars. So I thought devastating knockouts is what my audio is like. It's like, if you, if you're not positioned to me now, this is a devastating knockout for you. You're going to be out cold in the seventh, TKO. Doctors putting a light in your eye and everything. You're out
Very
cold.
Very bad decision.
Yeah.
You should have stayed training, bitch. You should have stayed training.
That was me metaphorically saying that my shit is devastating. It would just knock you out. Whatever's there is getting knocked the fuck out. Tyson epitomizes the knockout shit. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. All right, let's go. No Future, Ray Vendetta.
Started around, I seen them all. He was too emotional. When I watched him, when he came in the ring, the first time I stepped in the ring, I looked at his face and I saw he was too emotional. I said, no way he's gonna win. I was telling my trainer, I said, he's gonna lose tonight.
Ain't no future in your heart, fast bluffing. Rappers all image and it ain't saying nothing. Ain't no limits to my skill set, tell them. Shifting CDs like the 20 pack, sell them. Shout out Venom, love to my big brothers. Plus the bloodline siblings, all my cousins. When it's crunch time, I'm down cause I'm ever ready. Annihilating MCs, very necessary. Narcissist Lex Luger with the iron plate. Past the piff, getting steamed at a slower pace. Unfold your fate, tags on a tarot card. MC's basic, 3D avatars. Ray of light, do it large. Food, smoke, drink up. Everything I pen is hard, everything I think up. Charles X back from the grave with the headpiece. Two lines up in my fade, watch his head bleed. Sharp rhyme, swinging the blades. Gold gem stars, I don't need no hand down props. I ain't dem star, built this from the gravel of soul. Root structure, hate of blood, bubbles and balls. They dumb fucked up. Sharp rhyme, swinging the blades. Gold gem stars, I don't need no hand down props. I ain't dem star. Let me take it right back and begin from the start. Me, Zoro, Chiz Company, we're going in hard. That's the origins, the 9-0s, high-end cloth. Plenty quotables with rhinos, fry up clocks. Style ageless, no trace of carbon prints. I stay charged, rocking Ray-Bans with darkened tints. Call me Sergeant, Scorpion, Deathlock, you're done. Higher margins, I'm dropping those jewels over my son. Beg your pardon, Ray don't F front of the kids. I was 16, riding a bus to make the flip. With my Air Max looking on point, a dozen fits. Close my eyes when I fill up the drain. Keep it lit, like the 31st. Tell them happy new. Plenty dirty birds, that's an attractive view. Plenty backwards crews. Tell them pen a note, Lion King takeouts. K9s whip a throat. Sharp rhyme, stinging the blades. Gold gem stars, I don't need no hand down props. I ain't dem star, built this from the gravel of soul. Root structure, hate of blood, bubbles and balls. They dumb fucked up. Sharp rhyme, stinging the blades. Gold gem stars, I don't need no hand down props. I ain't dem star, built this from the gravel of soul. Root structure, hate of blood, bubbles and balls. They dumb fucked up.
Maybe it's better the referee did stop it. That would have been all over.
I turned away and knew that it was over by that time.
I knew it was over, and I knew I didn't hit him with hard enough punches and vital areas to put him out of her.
Vital areas to put him out, man.
No Future, Ray Vendetta. The Bandcamp is in the link below, man. Go support, man. People, man.
That you one's only digital right now, people, because that got sold out pretty fast, man. Yeah, but it's digitally available everywhere.
All right, man. Maybe on eBay, they might pick it up for 300 fucking bucks. Got 300 gold coins. Yeah.
I'm waiting for those times in the future where someone sends me a screenshot of my album for a ridiculous price.
Yo.
That someone kept in plastic and didn't even touch it. They just received it in the mail and left it in the envelope. Because people buy two copies of projects off me, and it's always baffled me. But I think about it like this: maybe they bought one to put in their collection, one to play in the car and just have around the house. But I know there's others that just bought those to make them age, like wine, like buying a wine that's just like, you know, a best-selling wine.
Sealed been coffee.
Stealing, sealed, and you leave it there. Yeah. You know, 30 years is going to be worth even more. It's just some shit like that, you know.
Yeah,
so
man.
I guess that they're going to do that in the future.
It looks like we've lost theme in the connection. Yeah. I think he's ducked out, but it's all good. We're right at the end here, man. Ray, let me thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you guys as well, man. It's been like, it felt like lockdown when I was doing like these, like,
with the Zoom style.
Boys and that, with the gang. Yeah, man, it's been nice still.
Yeah, we'll get you back though in the future, man. We've got a podcast studio that we can use. It'll be good to have, just a good sit down. Maybe we have a couple of guests.
Definitely.
It'll be
cool. I'll come bring some of the label boys, you know.
Yeah, man.
Make it proper. Let's do some freestyles, whatever, man. Just make it.
Yo,
proper.
That would be ill, man. Yeah, that seriously like would be dope.
Yeah, man.
All right, brother, man. Listen, thank Andy, look now. He's calling me, man. Let's round this off, man. Thank you so much. All right, brother?
Yeah. Salutes to you.
Arms out to your mum's house.